So a couple of... and some... should clear it right up. And if that doesn't work, then I'll prescribe some... and that should do the trick.
Oh, thanks, Doc.
Just what the doc ordered, thanks to our friends at the Department of Conservation.
Yes, it's that time to catch up with some of the good folk from the Department of Conservation. Today we're joined by James Blackmore, who is a marine ranger based in Whitianga, Coromandel. Morena.
Morning team, how are we going?
Yeah, good, how are you?
Very good.
Awesome, awesome. Are you coming at us live from Whitianga as we speak?
Yep, we're in the Whitianga office, and as soon as this interview wraps up, we'll be out on the water getting back into some crayfish surveys.
Oh, wow, awesome. Yeah, tell us a little bit about, you know, on the day-to-day, what your mahi looks like for Doc.
Yeah, so my job as a marine ranger can sort of be broken into three main parts. So compliance officer, skipper, and basically marine researcher. So a lot of the time in summer, it's heavy focused in summer. The rangers like myself are out across the Hauraki Gulf in compliance force. So coming across these HPAs, SPAs, the high protection areas, C4 protection areas and marine reserves. And if anyone's fishing in there, we're there to obviously hand out fines. And if people are around there, we're out to give education and let more people know about these areas and how they can interact there. So unfortunately, we still get people who don't understand they're out there and are committing offences against these areas. So heavy time in summer is compliance, and then we shift into a bit more the shoulder seasons and winter, where we spend a lot more time doing the monitoring.
Mm. So you're sort of well into the swing of the monitoring now that we're getting closer to winter now?
Yeah, we're right in the middle of the crayfish surveys, which is one of the monitoring techniques we're using this year to have a good understanding of the crayfish numbers inside and outside of the marine reserves and HPAs.
Interesting. What would you say are some of the biggest challenges facing the Coromandel area, in particular Whitianga, at the moment?
The biggest issues in relation to the marine protections?
Yeah, yeah.
The population on the Coromandel, especially around Whitianga, just booms over summer. So we get a huge increase of boats coming from Auckland, Hamilton, anywhere across the country, overseas as well. And they spend a lot of time up in these areas. And if they don't have the up-to-date charts or the skipper's not aware of where they're fishing, that can definitely cause a bit of a conversation between us and them. If we find them fishing in these protection areas. So that sheer number of pressure from the public come summer is one of our biggest issues. But it's also one of our best opportunities to spread the word and get people in the know about marine reserves and protections.
Mm. Are there sort of particular resources or places you wish people knew more about in terms of getting more access to this sort of information around regulations and such?
Yeah, there's lots of resources you can use to understand the rules at sea, and MarineMate is a great app that we've been pushing that has all of the boundaries of these marine protections and all the information, just like the DOC website. If you go onto the DOC website, that'll have all the information of where you can, can't fish, how to interact in these spaces, and boat ramp signs, they're everywhere. A lot of the chandleries and fishing shops, they're all on board and keen to pump that information out to the public. So there's a lot of it out there. You've just got to do your due diligence before you get on the water and get out there.
Mm. And so your team in Whitianga, how many of you are there? What's the team look like in the Coromandel?
Yes, over in the Coromandel, we've got... three marine protection rangers, and a community ranger, and then a few summer staff that come for those busy periods over summer. Mm-hmm. So the marine protection rangers are all like myself, skippers, warranted officers, and divers who perform the work. And then we've got a community ranger who does a lot of outreach into the community and spreading the word and getting into events. And then the summer rangers, tricks of all trades, the boat ramps, talking to people, they're helping us on the water, they're used and abused any way we can.
Awesome. So it's really awesome that you have the opportunity to use these kind of off-peak seasons to, you know, dive deep and do some research. You're doing crayfish dives at the moment, you mentioned. How does that help us read the health of the Moana?
Yeah, so the crayfish counts right now, I can dive into how we actually do them in a second, but that gives us a good understanding of the population inside a marine reserve or in a marine protection area that in theory is not touched by the outside world. And that's what a normal coastline should look like if humans weren't interacting. So understanding that area of protection and then also understanding just outside that magical line where they are predated on by humans, we can see the differences between, you know, what the coastline could look like and what it looks like in reality with the fishing. So unfortunately, the crayfish stocks in the Hauraki Gulf have sort of been steadily declining over the last decade or two. And we've noticed, as a general rule of thumb, inside the reserve, the numbers are sort of at least double, although still declining.
Yeah.
But double compared to outside the marine reserves. And we tend to have some significant sized critters crawling around in our marine reserves and protections. So,
do you ever wish you could tell the crayfish to just like stay in the reserve and not get like fished on?
Mate, some of them know it.
Do they?
Yeah,
gnarly old crayfish, eh?
Yeah, there's a few gnarly old boys in there that we see sort of every year or every second year on the same transect. We'll go along and remember old Billy Bob or whoever it is.
Oh, that's awesome. So how does it actually work in terms of surveying the numbers of crayfish?
Right, so it's different to each reserve depending on how much rocky reef habitat there is. But in general, we head out on the boat for the day, the team, and a dive pair buddies head down to the GPS point. From there, we lay out a 50-metre transect. So a 50-metre tape measure, basically, and we tie that off on the reef. Then one buddy on one side, one buddy on the other side, we scan across that area, finding every single crayfish we can on our side of the transect. And when we're doing that, we're looking for species. So it could be red rock lobster, it could be pack horse, it could be slipper lobster. But mainly we're after the reds, and we're taking what sex they are, what habitat we found them in, if it's under a bowl or in a crack, any interesting observations, like if they're in berry, so that's like a pregnant crayfish, basically, the little bits of caviar you might see on them every now and then, and any other habitat descriptions there. Then we wrap up that transect and we write down basically how many crayfish were on, what their details were, and then compare that from 8 or 10 sites within the reserve to 8 or 10 sites directly outside the reserve.
Gosh, you must be exhausted after those days. That sounds like hard work.
It does sound complicated.
It's a bit of brain power and a bit of body power, but it's a pretty good day when you get to go out and do some meaningful science, scuba diving off boats for the day. It's a pretty good job.
Yeah, not a bad offer, say.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, so cool to learn a little bit more about your mahi, James. Thank you for making the time for a chat, and best of luck with the day ahead getting out on the water.
No worries. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
All good. Have a good one.
Cheers. Bye.
That was just what the doc ordered. Thanks to our friends at the Department of Conservation.